It's great to be together this morning, to be able to worship with one another, to hug each other, to greet each other, to meet each other, and to continue to sing to our God in heaven. What an amazing worship we've been able to have. And can we just thank our worship team once again for leading us in such a spiritual way? Thank you. It was an amazing service last week as we memorialized 9/11 and committed an hour of community service for all the 2,996 people that lost their lives 17 years ago. And as Al said earlier, we want to continue that momentum. And a lot of you have, beyond the time that we were allowing people to log the hours, you continue to log your hours. And I thought that was really cool. So we're above, I think, 4,500 hours of community service in New York the last 10 weeks. We're also in between series right now. We love to dig in here at the Big Apple Church to different Bible studies. And we finished our If Jesus Was a New Yorker series a couple weeks ago. And we have some special one-offs we're going to do the next couple of weeks. And then we are going to begin a study in the book of Exodus in the fall. We talked about this on Wednesday. We're going to do the first 18 chapters. We're going to go several weeks, line by line, into the depth of what Moses went through and all the Israelites. I'm really excited about it. We're going to have some performances. We're going to have some special music. We're going to have things happening throughout the week. So I'm very excited about that. Before we get there, though, next week, we have a special guest speaker from among us, and that's going to be Mark Thompson is going to preach next week. So very excited about that. Always a treat when he gets up here. But today I wanted to talk a little bit about the concept of adventure. And certainly this summer has been an adventure for the church, for probably you individually. A lot of you have either moved or gone through transition of some kind of way. And for a second, I want you to just think, what is the most memorable adventure you have had in your life to date? All right, just think in your mind, like grab that adventure. Was it a trip? Was it sort of a jaw-dropping event that you went to, a place that you traveled, a life-changing experience, maybe something you did with your family or friends or on your own? Think about that adventure. We're going to be talking a lot about this concept and theme today. Maybe your adventure was all good. Sometimes adventure has some pretty terrible in it, but we tell that story because not only is there the terrible, but there's a lesson learned or something good that came from it. You know what I'm talking about? And whatever it is that you're thinking, you probably have told a story at one point or another about that great adventure. I can't help but think about me and my best friend when I was in ninth grade. If you can't tell who's who, I'm the Jewish one on the right. That's me. Anyway, that's my best friend, Alex, from high school. And this is a picture of us at a debate tournament. We were debate partners. We had gotten in so much trouble in history class ninth grade year, that we got detention, and the teacher that was doing detention that day was also the coach of the high school debate team, and as part of the detention, he said, you're going to have to watch the debate team practice. And then after the practice, he said, you guys cause a lot of trouble because you like to talk. I think you guys should join the debate team. And we were like, is that part of the detention? He said, it is for now. So we joined, and the rest is history. I went to college on a debate scholarship. But this was my partner in crime. And we did all kinds of things together. We felt like when it was come time to do our science project, we couldn't just hand in a piece of paper. We had to film ourselves doing a newscast of a drainage system that had gotten polluted, and this is me interviewing Alex. I know. What were we wearing? I mean, I don't know what was going on there. It's the 90s. So. Yeah. I got a little distracted. One of my most favorite memories with Alex was, the high school went on a senior trip, and because we prided ourselves on being nonconformists, we decided we would take our own senior trip, and we drove his Lincoln Continental, all 20 feet of it, up the sides of mountains into southern Utah, and decided to camp under the stars and just talk and eat off the land and go on bike rides throughout. And we thought it'd be a really fun picture if we went to the side of a cliff and one of us stood there with our bike and the other one over here. That's about a 1,000-foot drop there. when I look back on that picture, I'm like, dude, we almost died. Like, that was a really dumb idea for a picture. And I went backwards. I was like, I'm not going to get as close as he was. But that was such an amazing adventure for us. It's an indelible mark in my memory. I will never forget the conversations we had, the adventures we went on, all the different exploration that we were able to have together. When I look at the dictionary definition of the word adventure, it says an undertaking usually involving danger and unknown risk, an exciting or remarkable experience. You know, when you think about adventure, we don't always associate it with risk, but certainly our greatest adventures sometimes came at sometimes even peril risk. And so it's about surviving to tell the story that sometimes makes some of those great adventures so great. It's the unknown around the corner. It's what makes a good adventure movie. And you're always wondering, what's going to happen next? Is Tom Cruise really going to make it through this Mission Impossible? You know, we always feel like we're not sure. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because being a follower of God, I believe, is the greatest adventure there is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In scope and magnitude, I don't think the stakes could be higher. I think the most dangerous risks that we can take on this side of heaven is risks for God. Following God is also an eternal adventure, and so the risks that we take here in his name also magnify and amplify into all of eternity. It's important for us to be reminded of the scope of what we're doing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, it reads, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him, you've been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and all kinds of knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I want to break this text down a little bit, and I have a few lines here that are underlined so we can emphasize a few thoughts. The first one is, I always thank my God for you. You know, my wife Arlene and I, we can hardly believe sometimes that we get to be here in New York City on this great adventure with all of you. And maybe that sounds corny or cheesy, but literally I wake up in the morning thanking God that I am in this great city with this amazing fellowship. That is a real feeling that I have. I get goosebumps coming into this room with you when we sing together, when we fellowship together. It is the greatest adventure I have ever been on. And it's a dream come true, especially to be with such a creative, down-to-earth, salty, sassy, classy collection of fine people. It is not every day that you get that much diversity packed in one room, in one church, in one fellowship, and I love it. I always felt a little out of place wherever I was before New York City. I don't know what it was. I'm artsy. Maybe it's the way I always change my hair or change the way I dress or the music I listen to. And certainly anyone that I would tell, what do you do for a living? I'm a minister. No one ever believes me. But here, you can sort of say whatever, and they're like, okay, whatever. That makes sense. I mean, tonight, in a few hours, I will be performing Bono from U2 in our throwback benefit concert. I mean, Gia has custom designed outfits for me every year when I did Elvis. Some of you saw that. It'll be no different tonight. I mean, I feel like people get me here, and I thank God for that. Thank God for that. In verse 5, it talks about being enriched in every kind of way. And we have been enriched in all different kinds of ways. Define it in a lot of different terms. Maybe you've had a new job. I've heard a lot about new jobs and new degrees and careers and promotions and relationships. I'm especially moved by the stories of overcoming, battling illness and severe health challenges, living through loss and through grief, new babies like we saw earlier, new baptisms and trips around the world. We live very full lives. We are enriched in every way. Yesterday, Al alluded to this great wedding we had. Dave and Karen got married. And that's, by the way, the 27th wedding here in Manhattan in 7 years. It's a lot. And what's cool about this particular wedding is that Dave and Karen have already lived very full lives in Christ. And I'm not going to allude to age or anything, but they find each other on our church's dating website, you know, 2 years ago, and built this amazing friendship. They are best friends. They laugh and giggle all the time like teenagers. And God is funny like that. Never count him out, no matter which quarter of the game that you're in. It's always going to be an adventure, the unknown right around the corner. I was also just admiring one of the families in the church at the wedding yesterday, the Dietrich family. And I just admire them so much. I mean, here they are at the wedding. There's Charlotte singing opera up there. There's in Italian. There's a Zachary playing piano during the reception. There's Brad emceeing, leading the band, doing trumpet solos and piano interludes throughout the reception. I'm like, I love this family. It's so cool. So cool. And not only that, this is a family of all disciples of Jesus. And Sammy the cat, I don't want to leave Sammy out, but he's not a Christian yet, but you never know. And they've been living here in Manhattan all these years, and Brad's about to put on an opera that he wrote next month that's coming out. I mean, these guys, they're not just surviving, they're thriving as a family in New York City, enriched in every way, not without challenges. But God, I think, is indeed confirming his testimony about Christ among you, as it says in verse 6. Sometimes our testimony gets interrupted. You know, our beautiful highlight reel narrative gets interrupted along the way. Our Facebook highlights, right? And then there's a low light. Something happens that is not according to plan. You ever been there?
Yeah.
You get sick, or there's an accident, or you lose your job, or you lose your apartment, or there's a breakup, and you're going, this must not be God's plan. Because it certainly wasn't my plan, and God's plan is always my plan, so therefore, it must not be God's plan. You see the logical progression there? And we're baffled that the two are not the same. I want to remind us, you know, we didn't get in line for the safe kiddie ride at the carnival. We got in line for the short line that no one else wanted to go on. A lot of people were scared because it's dangerous and it's a roller coaster of crazy. That's what the Christian life is. A roller coaster of crazy. And any of us that have been around the church any length of time knows that we've got plenty of ups and downs to talk about. We follow a guy that was killed for his faith. I would call that a low. Agreed? And yet, in verse 7, it says, you do not lack any spiritual gift. You do not lack any spiritual gift. We lack nothing. Now, sometimes we don't feel this spiritual confidence enough, right? We feel like we lack a lot. Here it says you lack nothing. You got every spiritual gift that you need. And oftentimes when we go into that interview or we're going to that conversation or we're getting on that phone call or we're about to engage in something, that we are not thinking I have every spiritual gift. We're thinking I lack everything. You know, there's this really cool, it's sort of the NYU Welcome Week, you know, sign, banner, motto, motif, theme, your adventure awaits. It's been all over the website to NYU the last couple weeks that they have started. And it's, you know, your adventure. What does it mean? Your adventure awaits. It's coming. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the campus ministry lately, and our theme that we've been talking about a lot and from our retreat a couple weeks ago is this adventure that we're on, talking about the adventure of the campus ministry. And, you know, a year ago on paper, our campus ministry didn't feel like we lacked no spiritual gift. It felt like we had a lot that we needed in order to have this great ministry. And, you know, basically we lacked a campus minister. We lacked the students. It was just a handful of them. We lacked momentum. We lacked resources. We lacked time. We lacked money. We lacked people. We lacked training. And we lacked direction. Other than that, we were good. But you know what we had? We had some students that were excited to be together, that wanted to take the world by storm. And they inspire me. You know, Arlene and I, we've been leading the church here in Manhattan, but the students really needed some guidance, so we decided that we would help out a little bit more. And so a year ago, we started diving in and helping out where we could. we haven't done campus ministry in years. You know, there was a time when I could just like shave, throw on a t-shirt, put a backpack on, and they would think I was a grad student. Now I might as well wear like a dad of a lot, you know, like they call me sir on campus. Like I can't really fake it anymore. Even though the students in the ministry are very nice, like, oh, you kind of look like a PhD student. like, don't worry about it. I'm good. I'm cool. But I've just been really out of practice. And we got back on campus, hanging out, eating pizza and ice cream, you know, getting fat, and it's awesome. And, I'm running out of our Wednesday night service at 8:15 to make their meeting at 8:30. And I'm just going, I lack everything. I don't have the youth. I don't have the energy. I don't have what it takes. And the students were just like this. They're just like, let's go for it. Don't worry about it. Let's have fun. And they're just amazing. They share their faith. They're ambassadors of Christ. They have incredible vision. They love being together. And you couldn't find a more diverse group than our campus ministry. It's doubled in size in the last 10 months. It's been very encouraging. Just them hanging out, spending time, celebrating each other, celebrating their friendship. Hazer became a Christian about 10 months ago, just so sweet and brilliant over at NYU and, family through Lihia, just studying the Bible and making Jesus Lord of her life. Shay came in. He's the best dressed guy in the room if you don't know who he is. Becky, invited him out over at Baruch and made a decision. I want to be a Christian. And of course, Dan Park, who's just, super cool. He's the one in the back middle there. Grew up in our church in Malaysia and just got a fresh start here in New York and over at Pace. And then Marissa came out, nursing student. Nick said, hey, check this out at NYU. And she studies the Bible in about 3 weeks, decides, hey, I want to make Jesus Lord, became a Christian. Madison just moved here. She just became a Christian last month in Dallas. Great adventure moving to New York a week after you're baptized to join our campus ministry. Zoe grew up in our church in Connecticut and is a junior at NYU and just a brilliant actress and writer and brings so much energy and creativity. And others are moving in and studying the Bible and making incredible decisions in their spiritual lives. And we are at Marymount and King's College and FIT and Hunter and Baruch and Pace and SVA and NYU and Columbia. And I'm just so inspired by our growing campus ministry. They are awesome. One year ago, it seemed like, man, we lack everything. And I'm like, God, all we have is a tiny bit of faith. And God answered, actually, you lack nothing because all you have is a tiny bit of faith. And we need to hear that in our own lives. You know, I love what it says here in the message in 1 Corinthians 1, what we read earlier. God himself is right alongside to keep you steady and on track until things are all wrapped up by Jesus. God, who got you started in this spiritual adventure, shares with us the life of his son and our master, Jesus. He will never give up on you. Never forget that. So 20 years ago today, I made a decision that I would make Jesus Lord, and I was baptized into Christ. Today is my spiritual birthday. Again, if you don't know which one I am, I'm the only one not smiling. This is the USC Campus Ministry 1998, 20 years ago today. And I've been on an unpredictable, exciting, crazy roller coaster, unknown around every corner adventure ever since. And I'm still in touch with all these folks here, some of the greatest friends that I have, Patrick and Hang and John. And then you might recognize the girl on the left, all the way left. She's downstairs teaching our preteen class right now, but that is my wife, Arlene, who I met in the campus ministry there. And it's interesting to look at my face, and some of you have seen this picture before, and I often think about that day. You know, why wasn't I smiling? You know, it was like amazing, and the best day of your life. You make Jesus, Lord of your life, and I left all that crazy behind, and I'm like, God, bring me the spiritual crazy. And yet, I remember feeling like this is serious. Like, I knew I was about to get on the roller coaster. Yeah. I had been on a very dark roller coaster, and I was trading that one in for a roller coaster of light. but I also knew it was going to mean a lot of sacrifice in my life that I had not gotten used to yet. And so I was serious. I was like, whoa, I just did this. I came out of the water ready. They asked me, do you have anything to share? You know, after I came out of the water, Arlene said I spoke for 20 minutes. I don't remember, but I was just like, guys, we have to be serious. I mean, I know you're happy and that's great, but we have to get, I mean, I was going off. I don't remember. But I realize, you know, I'm coming in. It's not like all the addictions just went away. I came out of the water. I was forgiven, but I'm still fighting all that impurity, all that relationship toxicity, all the substance abuse that I went through and addicted myself to, all the old habits. They do die hard. Yes. And yet the Bible says to kill them, to crucify every day, deny yourself and carry your cross daily. I knew it was going to be a hard but great adventure. It reminds me of a great quote from Helen Keller. She said, life is either a great adventure or nothing. I believe you're in this room because you got in line for a great adventure. You refuse to live a nothing life. You refuse to let your time go. Nowhere more than in New York do we not want to waste time. You are in this room because you want to make impact. You want to help people, not just for this life, but into the next. And yet we're also all warned by the scripture we've been reading that the greatest parts of our adventure could also be our greatest downfall. Those risks, the ones we overcome, the ones we tell story about, sometimes they could take us out altogether. Yeah. Yes. So the question I have for us as we're entering in the fall season, my prayer, of course, is that we don't fall. So what could be your fall? What could be your fall? Here we are, kind of this new season. We were talking earlier with the fellas about Yom Kippur and how our Jewish friends, they celebrate this as the new year. This is the head of the beginning of their fresh start and coming in out of Rosh Hashanah and reflecting on life and starting in with new conviction in the new year. How is your fall going to look? Is it going to be a falling fall? Or will it be a fall of overcoming? A fall of adventure? Temptation pulls you. Whether it's a lack of discipline or some sin that seems to always be over you like that dark cloud. Sometimes little things can creep up on you and start eroding your integrity over time until you realize you're starting to be deceitful about things you said I would never be deceitful about. We all have little things that can grow into big things. Maybe it's hiding things in our pride. We don't want to share because it makes us look bad. And even in the church, we say, oh, well, I have a reputation to keep up. I don't want anyone to know that I'm actually not as spiritual as they think I am. I'll tell you what's interesting. When you're open about stuff in your life, we think you're more spiritual than you are. Yeah. That might be the hardest thing we have to do, is to be open about our lives, as James 5 reminds us we ought to do. Whatever it is, what could be your fall? Because it's interesting, when you look at adventure movies, most adventure movies they end up well, right? You have like some crazy thing happen, but Indiana Jones chooses wisely, right? I mean, you know, Ray uses the Force to escape. Ethan Hunt tricks everybody with his disguise that he wears every single movie. And yet we are like on the edge of our seat, and then when it ends and they're still alive, the hero, But is that real life? Yeah, real life's not like that. Sometimes the danger does win. Sometimes it takes us out. Sometimes it takes a big chunk out. It leaves a scar. So we got to be real about our movies. It's more of a documentary than the fiction. And that's why when we look back at the text, the most encouraging thing is that part in verse 8 that says God himself is right alongside. Whatever you go through, whatever that roller coaster looks like, whenever you feel like you're facing something totally alone, he's right there with you. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He is bracketed time and space. He is not limited by our limitations like gravity. He's outside of all the physical universe. And so that means that he knows what's going to happen. He's already seen it done. So for us, it's an unpredictable adventure. For him, it's according to plan. Again, this is where our plans sometimes differ between us and God. In Proverbs chapter 16, in verse 9, one of my favorites, it talks about that, you know, we plan the course of our life, but then he determines the steps. Yep. We plan in that GPS, you know, and then all of a sudden Waze goes, you need to go this way. And God is always kind of course correcting. Sometimes we get off and he's like, hey, let's get back on. And we got to listen. This is the time to listen to those corrections. You know, God is our constant and perfect Father. He's attentive. He's never angry. He's always listening. He's fair. He's objective but empathetic. He's preparing the way. He will never, ever give up on you like the passage says. And what's cool, and it also talks about it here, how he allows us to share in the life of his son. He sent Jesus to be an example for us, someone who's done it. He's like, you know, I can tell you a lot of stuff and I'll do my best to show you through circumstance and miracle, but I probably need to just give you someone who's just like you, flesh and blood, so that they can go through all the stuff that you're going to go through so that you can relate and have an example that's before you. I need an example in my life. In every area of my life, I need tangible examples that I can point to say, oh, that's how to do it. In my marriage, in my parenting, in my Christianity, in my Bible study, in dealing with my anger or my purity, I need help. Do you need help? Yes. It's great to have examples in our lives that we can point to say, can you help me with this? Yes. You know, many years ago, in perhaps my more physically adventurous days, I went climbing up a mountain with a few friends. And one of them was named Felix. And Felix said, you know, there's this waterfall I want to take you to. And I said, okay, cool. So we all went up and we were on the side of this mountain. I was looking down. I was getting scared. I'm like, at that point, I was married with a kid. You know, you just sort of wonder. You start counting the consequences and you kind of see the newspaper clipping, if you're that important. And it says, you know, like, so-and-so dies because he climbed and he fell. And you're just like, oh, I don't want that to happen. But I know it does happen. And so I'm like, oh, why did I do this? And then we get to this waterfall. And I don't know, it's maybe like 35, 40 feet up. And he goes, we're going to jump off that. And I said, no, I'm not. He's like, no problem. It's fine. Don't worry about it. And I said, I'm not sure. And everyone's like into it, right? And now it's like peer pressure. And I'm like, maybe if you go first, I'll think about it. And so he went first. And here's a picture of Felix. I think he's wearing shoes. You have to wear shoes because it's only about 5 feet deep once you hit the water. And so you land on the ground. And then you have to push up. If you don't land right, it could be kind of rough. So he went first, and I was up there, and I see his body disappear, and I'm waiting. I'm okay, you know. And sure enough, he's fine. And then it was my turn. And I'm going, this is dumb. But he did it. Let's see. So, here's what happened. I made it. The little pixelated old video there that someone was taking, it was many years ago. But I made it. I lived to tell about it. And, you know, it's probably one of the most thrilling things I've ever done. I'm happy I did. I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying. But I tell you, I wouldn't have done it without him going first. And, you know, I think sometimes the spiritual adventure can overwhelm us with a great fear of the unknown, a fear of even some past hurts, whatever it is that you go through when you think about radically engaging the spiritual path that God has put before us. But someone's got to go first in order for this thing to work. And I think about Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, where he takes that step, you know, that you guys remember that movie? It's like you're not really seeing the bridge, but you sort of take a leap of faith, and maybe he's going, all right, this is really dumb. This might be the end, but there's a lot at stake. And in our spiritual adventures, there is a lot at stake. Who's going to jump first? Who's going to jump first when it comes to sharing our faith, not waiting for someone else to go serve someone in need, but initiating? Not waiting for the church to say, here's the thing that we're going to do. Not waiting for permission, but you jumping in first. You know what I'm talking about? Not needing permission, not needing even anything, but going like a Felix, I'm going to go for this. And I really ask and challenge us today, whatever it means for you to either get back into spiritual adventure mode or deciding to jump in now, what is that going to look like for you? Make a decision about a way that you're going to engage back in or into that adventure for the first time. We need more Felixes to lead the way. You know what's amazing about this adventure too is that sometimes we initiate And other times, someone else initiates. We trade off. We help one another. There are times in the Bible where Barnabas' name was listed first, and other times where Paul's was, and then they switch. And we're not exactly sure why, but we think that they sort of traded off, taking the lead at different times. You know, Felix has been an incredible example in my life in a lot of different ways. And I remember when his little brother took his own life, he needed me to be there for him. And there are moments that you just cannot prepare for. And there are definitely moments where you have no idea what to say. And all you can do is sit with someone, or cry, or pray, or listen. You never know when you're going to be needed. But I'm always going to be encouraged by his example of initiating in my life. And I want to be the same for him. And I want you to be thinking about that. How can I be that spiritual adventurer all of my days, anytime that I'm needed? This is the Christian adventure. There are unknowns around every corner. Anything, I think about this a lot. Sometimes I talk to people in the church and they're like, man, I just feel like I plateaued. You know, I feel like the Christian life is boring. And I'm like, what? Okay, we need to talk. Like, what is it that we're missing here? Because I tell you, the Christian life is anything but boring. Yeah. I feel like it's pushing me to the edge of everything in my life all the time. Yeah. The edge of my comfort zone, things I don't want to do, and God's like, yeah, I think you got to do it. Oh, that's anything but boring. Pushing me to be my absolute best, stretching me in my faith constantly. So yeah, I don't think it's anything near close to the ballpark of boring. A Christian life can drag you to the lowest lows and bring you to the highest highs. Like I said, we're following a dude that got killed for his faith. That's a low low. And resurrection is a really high high. You're going to be somewhere in between that spectrum. But I think what's cool is the lowlights actually make the highlights pretty awesome. The sour makes the sweet even sweeter. And I wouldn't trade any of my downs these last 20 years because the ups have been the glory of my life. It's ultimately God's plan, not ours. That's the message today. It's always going to be a great adventure with risk involved. At this time, we're going to take the communion and be praying and meditating about the great adventure that we live and that we imitate in Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we realize that you've given us some amazing adventures in our lives. All kinds of different adventures. In relationship, in travel, and just great memories. This is also filled with memories of scars and hurts. And God, I suppose I just want to say thank you that you've given us such an enriched and full life. We want to have the faith to believe that your plan is always best. And that when it seems like ours and yours veer off, we want to trust that you've got a better plan for us. Some great lesson for us to learn, or some great example for someone else, or something around the corner that we could never predict. God, help us to have the faith to believe that. Help us like you helped Jesus in the garden as he prayed continually, as he cried out for you to take away the cup, the burden of living through excruciating torture and an ultimate death on the cross. And yet he had something that he mustered through his relationship with you that we want so badly, where he got up after those three prayers and he said, let's go. Here comes my betrayer. Father, help us to be prepared for the unknowns with that bit of faith. Help us, as Jesus did, to face the greatest challenges because we know it is the greatest adventure. God, we ask these things as we take the emblems of your death and resurrection, the blood, as we remember it through drinking the cup, your body, as we take the bread. We ask that we would never forget the sacrifice you made for us, but also the good news of your resurrection. May we be resurrected as we live these lives of adventure. I love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.